anything.
Well, not too much.
Yeah, okay. This morning, I was thinking that all those that are in Christ are sealed into the day of redemption. That makes my heart glad. You know? Okay, chapter 8 of Hebrews. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heavens, in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for, see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant. And I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to them. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins, and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, a new covenant. He hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for giving us the strength and ability to be here this morning. We want to praise you, first of all, this morning for who you are. And we are always struck when we read your word and sing your praise that you are not like us, but you are above us and all-powerful, almighty, and worthy of praise. We praise you for what you've done for us in sending Christ to save us and doing things and keeping the law which we could not do. And we praise you for that, and thank you for raising him from the dead to show to all that we serve a risen Savior. As we're joined in heart this morning, we want to remember specifically some people who are in the work of propagating the gospel throughout the world. We think this morning of Doan Baptist Seminary in the Philippines as they're training people to preach the gospel, that you would help the students to learn there, help them to be faithful, and that they would be able to preach and have good opportunities as they go out from that institution. We pray for the Mitchells, Dr. Jack and Jennifer Mitchell, that you'll help them in their medical missions as they're serving you and doing their best in order to bring more people into your kingdom. We think of Pastor and Mrs. Steve Anderson as they are busy traveling in many different places in order to relieve missionaries during their furlough time so that the work doesn't go unattended. We pray that you would give them strength in their location that they're at, and that they would be faithful in the ministry. We also want to bring before you some people who are sick in our own place. We pray for Mrs. Jordan, that you would help her as she has many health difficulties. Pray for Brother Chuck Cartwright. Thank you so much that he's here today. And pray for him. And Mrs. Balakovich as well, that you would help her and give her strength. And thank you for helping her be faithful. We also want to pray that you would give us peace in our land. We pray for our troops that are in many different places all over the world, in Afghanistan and Iraq, as they sustain many dangers every day. We just pray that you would sustain them and keep them safe. We pray that your word would go forth powerfully as we study it and give attention to it, that your spirit would move among us and teach us what we need to know today. Help us with the remaining of the service, that it would be something that would be pleasing in your sight. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you. Next Lord's Day will be somewhat a different meeting. We will be having a baptismal service. At the moment, we have four people to be baptized, and they will have the opportunity to give a word of testimony to the Lord and some Bible verses. I will preach on the doctrine of baptism and what the Bible has to say about that to help us all to understand what it's all about. Tonight, our assistant pastor, Pastor Matt Postup, will be preaching. I urge you to come back. He's been giving some wonderful studies in the Word of God. It's your opportunity to learn and to understand more of God's precious Word. This afternoon, we have the Timothy training for those of you who are interested. We're studying on the wonderful way of having God-planned life. This studies that we have today will be very, very interesting and helpful from the book of Proverbs. And then we also are speaking about the difficulties and problems of the new evangelical movement. That also is so keen. I just wish that we could get everybody in our assembly to hear that. But those of you who can come, it's at 4 o'clock, this 4:15 this afternoon, and we go until the evening service. I want to say a word of thanks to all the ladies for helping us in the potluck last Lord's Day, and for those of you who have benefited so much from Monty Mills' ministry. We just thank the Lord for what has been done, and we praise Him for it. He's back safely where He belongs, and happy to be back in Dallas in the cold Dallas weather. Yeah. All right. We're just grateful for you to be here today and to participate with us. I had to take a double look when I saw Becca's sister. Yeah, you must stand up because people will not believe it's not Becky. But at any rate, yeah. Dwayne Reed has a brother who's a twin also. And it's hard to tell the difference between those two fellows also, except that this brother comes to church all the time and his other brother professes, but he's not too keen about a regular testimony for the Lord. But we're grateful for the twins, and we don't clone anybody, but we just thank the Lord for those who know Christ as Savior and magnify Him. We have another guest today that I believe that maybe Bill, you could introduce this young couple, please. Boy, how'd you get that ad in there, something like that? Yeah. While we're thinking about items of that nature, Dee Dee mentioned to me last week that the Walgreens department, drugstore, has decided to take issue with some of their pharmacists who refuse to pass along medications which relate to abortions. And I don't go to Walgreens anyway, they're too expensive. But at any rate, you know, there's one way to let your desires be known is to write to them or just tell them that you just cannot participate in their evil desires and activities. Yeah. There's so much. There was a day when I didn't want to buy food from a place which sold liquor. But where do you go today? That's the problem. And it's like you're going to a place to eat. You hardly know where to go anymore. It's just some of these evil things are all around us. But in any case, we just take notice of this. Thank you, Dee Dee, for bringing it to our attention. There's one other visitor this morning. Well, he ought to be here every Sunday. I don't know what's wrong with him, but that's Billy's brother, John. Come on, John, stand up. Now that you're stood up, you come back next Sunday, too. Thank you. Yeah, we've known Brother John for a long time, and he's got a lovely family, and we just wish that they were here every week with us. I think all the other people here are who ought to be here. It's nice to see Mark back here. He had a wonderful opportunity to stay in the Radisson last night in Kalamazoo, and he couldn't turn it down. Well, I don't blame you. Why didn't you take a pastoral friend with you? Anyway, we're just nice to see you all here. And we've got Trey with us this morning, too. Nice to see you, my boy. Yeah, thank you. And you just keep coming here. Okay. I want you to pray for Betty Widgen. She's at her parents' home. Her aunt died, and she went yesterday morning to that funeral. And Larry, her brother, was also there. So I told her to have him stop by so he could play the organ for us today. But that will not be possible. But anyway, we're just happy to see you all here today. God bless you and prosper you in the Lord. I think I'm all right here. We've got your friend also. Yeah, but he's one of us. Yeah. Thank you, Sherwood. Nice to have you, brother. Yeah, he's also in a resident prison. All right. Now we're going to receive the offering. If you have some of the Lord's money that you want to give to him, not to us, it's to the Lord. This is your opportunity. And Mrs. Renfro is going to play for us while we receive the offering. And when we finish receiving the offering, we'll pray for it and sing Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Please come, brother. Thank you very much. Let's stand and sing thanks to the Lord.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, all above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Brother Bill Smith, will you lead us in our prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated, please. Thank you. Our sister who played for us this morning had a birthday on Friday, and she doesn't come to Sunday school in time for us to sing. So, you were in the nursery. Well, we got sung for, but you didn't, weren't here. And also, I want to say that I think now I know why John is here today, because his mother has a birthday today. Yeah. So will you have a birthday next Sunday, please? And every Sunday? Yeah. Thank you. Elsie, God bless you, my dear. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. Brother, we're going to have a solo first. Are you singing? Please. That's great. Naomi Poster's going to sing for us before we sing the final hymn for the children to go out. Thank you very kindly.
Story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in cross where they nailed.
come and lead this song, I'd just like to say that Dr. Phil Harris, who was with us for a number of years, wrote to us this last week, and he said he appreciates Ben, what's on the internet and the website, and he said, tell Naomi I appreciate her singing. So that's included in the ministry that you can download. And he's was praising the Lord for the ministry of the Word of God about Melchizedek. He said, we don't hear about those kind of things. And it's just a blessing that from our little place, it's reaching around the world through that website. And many people are being blessed. And some write to us, like Brother Phil did. And he says, I've missed so much to be at Grace at Fellowship Bible. And he said, for those of you fellows who come on Saturday mornings, he misses the men's prayer meeting. His kids used to come along too. And so we rejoice in the ministry of this little place. It's his place. It's the Lord's work. And we rejoice that you are here to participate with us and enjoy it in Christ. Okay, my brother, let's sing the last song, and then the children can go out for their study.
Turn in your hymnal to 107. Hymn 107, Angels We Have Heard on High. If you'll stand with me.
Thank you.
With all these Christmas hymns, I should have prepared a Christmas message. But I felt I'd point your attention to the exalted Savior in the glory from Hebrews chapter 8. Thank you so much. Next Lord's Day evening, we will not be gathering here for a meeting, but we're going out to carol, and you're invited to come along with us. We normally go to some homes, and we also go to some places of business. One of our most happy times is to go to Myers on Carpenter Road, and on the second floor, they allow us to sing, and it's amazing how the people who are shopping appreciate what's going on. That's next Lord's Day. Well, you'll be here about 5:45. We'll try to leave at 6, and we go for about an hour and a half. Well, sometimes it's longer, but anyway, it's a joyous experience, and we invite you to come along. Just bundle up if it's cold, and be with us. Thank you so much. Now, if you have your Bible, I'd like to get your attention on Hebrews chapter 8, please. Hebrews chapter 8. One of the things we appreciate here at our assembly is that we always say, turn in your Bible. And it's a joy to us to see people turn in their Bibles. Hebrews chapter 8. Let's just pray first, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this morning for this wonderful passage of Scripture. And we pray that the hand of God may be upon us as we study it. Keep us from sin, Lord, so that sin will not hinder us from understanding what God wants to say to us. And we pray, Lord, that our hearts may be in tune with the Spirit of God as He seeks to teach us from this passage of Scripture, and we'll praise Thee and thank Thee for it. Oh God, open our eyes to behold the wondrous things out of Thy precious Word, and we'll thank Thee and praise Thee for it. In the wonderful name of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray with much, much thanksgiving. Amen. In the opening notes that I've given you this morning, just you pay attention to that. I've tried to review for you from where we've come in chapter 1 through chapter 7. You read that for yourself. The whole point is that God has given us a great deal of information to help Jewish people come to the place where they will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. There's a temptation and always an effort to, not to stick at what you make a confession to believe. Something comes up that says, well, maybe I didn't choose the right Savior. Maybe I didn't do the right thing. Whatever it may be, I suggested 3 different groups. I still believe that that's probably the best way to understand the book of Hebrews. There were Jewish people who did believe, but when problems came, they wondered if there was the right thing to do what they believed, and they wanted to turn back. If that comes in your life, may I say to you, once you believe, as 1 John 5:13 says, keep on believing. Don't give up. We used to use the idea of a marriage relationship. Can't do that anymore. Once you believe that this is the girl or this is the man for you, stick at it. No matter what the problems will be. If one says, well, I don't expect problems. Well, I'll tell you, friend, there will be problems. There'll be all kinds of things happen. And you say, well, why did I do this? And she might say, yeah, why did I marry that guy? But you stick it out because you made a commitment. And that's the same thing that Paul is saying to these believers. You made a commitment, stick at it. Don't turn away. And he gives reasons all the way from chapter 1 to chapter 7. To the end of chapter 7. It's a tremendous litany of proofs as to why Jesus is the true Messiah. You say, it doesn't bother me. Well, listen, can I tell you this? Like I told the class for the baptism this morning, why do we believe a person should be baptized? Well, we believe a person should be baptized because God said so. If God said, run around North Campus 10 times after you believe, run around North Campus. Why? Because He said so. That's all. And He said, once you believe, you are to be baptized. It's simple. It's a matter of obedience. But the point is that we believe what the Bible has to say. It's not what we think or what our church believes, but what the Bible says. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. The Bible says that Jesus Christ died for us. He was buried. He was resurrected. He was seen. And the Bible says that's the way you get saved. The Bible says that once you believe, you're saved for eternity. Now be baptized. We believe in what is called believer's baptism. And that's what we were talking about with the young people this morning. These Jewish people had believed. Now they were to keep on believing, not stop. I like John 1:12, don't you? Yeah. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on His name. Receiving is the same as believing. 1 John chapter 5, which I boggled in Sunday school this morning. These things have been written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And, now listen, that you may keep on believing. That's in the text of Scripture. That you may keep on believing. You don't just believe or raise your hand or whatever and say, that's it. No, you just keep on. And that's what these people are supposed to do. Keep on believing. There was another group of Jewish people who wanted to say, well, I need more evidence. That's why He gives it in this book. And there were some Jewish people who said, we don't believe you at all. What evidence do you have? And He piles it all up in this first 7 chapters. It's an incredible book. Read it carefully. My father used to preach on this. I've got all of his notes, and some of them are in my notes. I remember one year he preached on Hebrews at the Gull Lake Bible Conference. And years later, I was invited to preach there, and I saw his picture as a former minister of the Word of God at that conference grounds. Hebrews, don't run away from this book. It has a wonderful testimony for you. But unfortunately, some people don't understand it. You know why? Want to know why? Turn to chapter 4 for a minute. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse number 11. Speaking about the things concerning Melchizedek. There's some of whom we have many things to say and hard to be understood, uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. About these matters of Melchizedek. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a baby. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Look at the last verse there. Those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The more you study this Bible, the more you'll understand what God wants you to know. If you're not in the Bible and praying and seeking His face, this stuff is going to say, oh, I'm bored with it. B-O-R-E-D. I'm bored. I'm just not interested. But if you have your senses exercised by the Word of God, then you will be. And what I'm going to speak about this morning is going to challenge your heart to move from the temporal to the spiritual, from the earthly to the heavenly. It's not that you suddenly become a mystic, but you must be in a different area of your life of thinking. I asked the young people this morning to fill out an application for baptism. One of the areas of the application says, do you have a devotional time? Let me ask you, do you have one? Do you spend time with the Lord? I went to Kinko's yesterday, and I said to my wife, I can go by myself. She said, no, you can't. I'm going with you. Everywhere I go, she's with me. She wants to spend time with me. I want to spend time with her. This morning I rang the bell for the breakfast. It was ready. I didn't want to sit down and eat by myself. So she came, and like always, we eat together. Yesterday morning, I came to the men's prayer meeting. I left the house just after 7. And my wife was up and awake and ready to read the days of praise with me before I left. That's the way it should be. Not because I do it, but because it's the right thing to do. You spend time with one another. We have a brother in Lancaster, Pennsylvania area who just came out of the hospital. And he's got some serious problems. And so the place where he's staying has put him in a different situation from where his wife is. So he doesn't want to eat. He doesn't want to respond to what they wanted him to do. He wants his wife. I say, yeah, why don't those people wake up? He wants to spend time with someone he loves. That's why we have a devotional time with the Lord. It's with one we love, whom we love. This is the whole point. Now listen very carefully. This is an incredible passage of Scripture. The first verse starts and says, listen, I want to give you something which is very, very important. It's the head of the situation. It's called the kephale, the head. It's there in the Bible. It says the sum of things. Verse number 1 of chapter 8. The things which we have spoken, this is the sum. This is the head. This is the pith. This is the kernel. This is what I'm driving at. I've preached for written to you for 7 chapters. Now this is where I've been driving. I want you to understand. It's not the past, but the future. Because of all the past, now I've got something to say as what you ought to be giving your attention to. This is the sum. This is the head of all things. And I want you to notice that the word of the things which we have spoken is really the present tense, which we're discussing. We're talking about these things. Present tense. We're talking about things, and I want you to get your ears attuned to what I want to say. I don't know how people can study with music around them, but there are people who do that. When I go to study, I want quietness. And I say to my wife, don't bother me. If somebody dies, okay, but otherwise, I'm not interested. I want to be quiet. And I go upstairs to the room that my brother Bill prepared for me. And it's so quiet and nice up there. And I spend time on my knees with the Lord. Oh, my friend, do you know what I'm talking about? Listen carefully, because that's what this is all about. He says there, we have such an high priest. The have is a present tense. We have right now. He's telling these Jewish people, and he's telling you and me, we have a high priest. Now we're going to have, or we did have, we do have, right now, present tense, consistently, constantly, we have a high priest. You don't have to ask for one, or pray for one, or hope for one. You got one. We have a high priest. What an incredible thing. And he says, we have such an high priest. What he's going to do is to describe the kind of high priest we got. Well, those Jewish people could understand what Aaron was like and what the law required. They would know all about that. But now he's explained to these Jewish people, listen, we got a high priest which is different, totally different. And you have to understand this. And he wants to explain to them what kind of a high priest he's got. We have such a high priest. This kind of a high priest that you don't know about. Well, I've tried to tell you about it in chapter 6, verse 20 through chapter 7 particularly. But he says, I want to explain some more. I want to tell you what I've been driving at. This is the point to which I've been trying to get you. Verse number 1. He says, this one that I'm talking about, who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. He is set on. That is a aorist tense verb. And the aorist tense verb says, it's already done. The Lord is there. Listen, my friend, Jesus is not what you would have him to do here on earth. He's gone. He was crucified, buried. We know he is buried because he was crucified. And we know he's crucified because he was buried. And then he was resurrected. And when he was resurrected, he was seen. But now, not seen by Peter and the 500, but now he's in the glory. We have such an high priest who is set down. He sat down. Where? At the right hand of the majesty on high in glory. He's there. Do you understand that? No, you can't see him, but you believe that because the Bible says so. So when somebody says, well, where is Jesus? He's at the right hand of the Father. Well, what does that mean? I don't care what you tell me what it means, right, left, or whatever. He says right hand, he's right there next to the Father. You say, I can't understand that. You don't have to understand, you have to believe it. You say you're parking your brain. No, I'm not parking my brain. I have confidence in what the Bible says is true, and so I just believe it. That's not a cop-out. It's a matter of worship. It's a matter of saying, now I understand where my Savior is. We have such a high priest. And he sat down. And he's at the right hand of the majesty, a place of glory, a place of sovereignty. Who is the majesty? God Almighty. The majestic one of glory. And there at his right hand is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this would boggle the minds of Jewish people because right away you're talking about persons within the divine unity. And that's a problem. Every Jewish person has a difficulty with the triunity of the Father. We believe in a Trinitarian God. So here you have the Father, who is a Spirit, John 4:24, and a Savior, who had a body. I'm asking you to believe this because it's what's in the Bible. Not because you say, yeah, I could logically understand it. You probably say, no, it's beyond me. I say, okay, that's fine. May I remind you what my dad used to say? If you find something in this Bible, he had it written in the front of his Bible. If you find something in this Bible that you don't understand, thank God he knows more than you do. And I come back to that so many times because I sit in my office and I say, hey, Lord, I understand what's there. I can read, but that's about all I can do. But it's hard, this stony heart of mine, to get this stuff. By the way, Monty Mills told me a funny story about reading. He said he parked when he went to a mall one day. he parked in the handicapped section. And he said there were a lot of handicapped places, so he just stole one for himself. And he started to walk in the shop, and a bunch of young kids said, "You know, that's funny. First time I knew that a handicapped man was the one who couldn't read." He felt it going back and changing the car. But we have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne. Hey, don't you like that one? A throne is a place for royalty, for a king. He's the king of Salem. Remember Psalm 110, verse 1? Melchizedek, king of Salem. He's the king, but he's sitting on the throne. The majesty is right next to him. At the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Now listen, please, we're not talking about stuff down here. We're not talking about earth, we're talking about heaven. Don't try and change that. The whole picture here is of something in heaven, not on earth. That should drive you away from trying to objectivize something which God says is there in the spiritual realm. That's where it is. Now, follow me through because it'll make some sense to you as you read about the word tabernacle and the word sanctuary. Look at verse number 2. He's a minister of the sanctuary. But the only sanctuary the Jewish people knew about was the temple, the tabernacle in the temple. There was the tabernacle in the wilderness, and then the temple, which was built by Solomon. That was the sanctuary. And there was a holy place, and there was a holy of holies. Now, the Bible is telling us that he's a minister of the sanctuary. Now, are you going to tell me he was in the tabernacle? In the temple? It says here, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle. The true tent. Which the Lord pitched and not man. Who pitched the tent in the wilderness? That was Moses. Who built the temple? Solomon. So this is one which they didn't touch, but which God made. You say, so God's got a tabernacle up there. He's got a temple up there. Where are we? We're in the heavens. We are not on earth. Move yourself away from that which is physical into that which is spiritual. I told you that this is very, very important for you to listen to. It's not what we want to devise and say, well, there must therefore be a holy place up there and a holy of holies, just like they had the tabernacle or just like in the temple. It doesn't say that. What it does say is that God raised this thing up there. And that's what we have to believe. In verse number 5, by the way, verse number 5, look what it says. Who serve under the example and shadow of heavenly things as Moses reminded when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, said he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. That's what they serve. But this mount which he saw was for him to do on earth. This, he says, at the beginning of the verse, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. The word heavenly in verse 5 and the word heavens in verse number 1 show you that we're talking about something which is spiritual, not earthly. And I've got a little statement somewhere in the notes to say, I want you to veer away from anything which you say is physical. This has been a debate among some people. I don't know why it's a debate. That there's got to be a physical tabernacle, a physical temple in heaven. That's a lot of baloney. It's a spiritual thing, not a physical one. the throne that is there. Don't think of a throne that you normally think of as a king. There's not a physical seat up there. It's a spiritual thing. You're dealing with a spiritual thing. This is not something that we are accustomed to understanding here. Let me go on to this one on verse number 5 while we're there, please. These are verse 3 and 4, these priests, high priests here on earth, they serve, but they serve of an example and a shadow of heavenly things. Their hupodigma and their skia, in other words, the plan of something which is shadowy, is here on earth, but the real stuff is up in heaven. Now Moses was admonished, he was actually warned. This is the same word that's used of being warned in a dream in Matthew's gospel. Moses was warned of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. He was admonished and told. And he says, you do exactly what I tell you to do, just like it is up here. And this is a spiritual thing here. Now I want you to make it physical. Let me read you a couple of verses in Exodus chapter 38 and 39, please. Exodus 38 and 39. Let me show you what he's mentioned. This is shadowy stuff. This is stuff which is exemplary. Exodus chapter 38 Yes, chapter 38. I'm sorry, 39. Exodus 39. Exodus 39 and 40. And you'll notice, especially in chapter 40, he says this, that the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month thou shalt set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation, and thou shalt put therein the ark of the testimony, and so on. And notice it says, thou shalt, verse 3, verse 4, thou shalt. Verse 5, thou shalt. Verse 6, thou shalt. Verse 7, thou shalt. Verse 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Thus did Moses according to all that the Lord commanded him, admonished him, warned him. So did he. Verse number 32. When they went into the tent of the congregation, when they came near unto the altar, they washed as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse number 33. So Moses finished the work. That's why Paul says in verse number 5 of Acts of Hebrews chapter 8, as the Lord had showed him and told him what to do. So Moses did on earth what was God had showed him in the mount about what's in heaven. Where is our priest? He's not here on earth. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high in the heavens. So if you want to go and find a priest, the high priest, you're not going to find one here on earth. And that's what he takes up in verses 3 and 4. Look at that, please. Every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is a necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. Every high priest had to have a gift. What kind of high priest? The man who was here on earth, in the tabernacle, in the temple. They had to have gifts. They had to bring something as an offering. But this one, verse number 4, this man has somewhat to offer, but not what they offered, offerings. He offered himself. And by offering himself, he provided what was necessary for a high priest, but it wasn't for use here on earth. He couldn't qualify on earth because he'd have to bring something.
and he didn't bring things. They brought offerings for their sins. He couldn't do that. This is what we call a second-class condition. It's determined as unfulfilled. He could not fulfill to be a priest here on earth. It couldn't be. So he must be there. We have the high priest there. You know, this is a fantastic thing when you see certain religions that have priests. And they have high priests. They have various orders. We don't have that. We have but one priest. And he's in the glory. He's not here. I tell you, my friend, this is an amazing thing. Somehow we've got to sit down in a devotional time and think, yes, Lord, Jesus did rise. Jesus did go to heaven. Jesus did get to the place where he'd be next to the Father, back where he came from, John 17. Now that's where he is. What's he doing there? Well, he's praying for you. He's fulfilling the function of a priest. And what did he do to get there? Well, he brought an offering. Because every priest has to have an offering. What was his offering? Himself. Yeah, that's right. He went and brought himself as the offering. And now he's there. And he's my mediator. He's my surety. He's all that I need there. And he's functioning that way. He doesn't offer a gift like the priest here in the law under Moses. It's all different. And I got to think that. So when I kneel down next to my chair upstairs, I could say, Lord, I want to thank you. And this is what the Bible says about my Savior. I have a priest, such a high priest. He has a ministry for me, for all of God's people. Can I tell you something more? Look at verse number 6, please. The priests down here have their own way of doing things, but now has he, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, obtained a more excellent ministry. Their ministry is okay, but he has a more excellent ministry. If you think that a pastor or a missionary or a Christian worker or a Sunday school teacher has a ministry, he's got a more excellent one. This is the comparative form of the word for excellent. More excellent. He supersedes everything else that we've talked about in the first 7 chapters. More than Aaron, more than Moses, more than everything. He's got a better one. So focus on him. I was reading a book about a Jewish man who's got a ministry in Israel. And he's saying that sometimes the Messianic Jews accent Jewishness, or they accent the Torah, the law. Instead of putting the Lord Jesus Christ on a pedestal. And you know, my brother and sister, that's what we need to do. That when we have our quiet time with the Lord, we sit down and say, now, Lord, I want to thank you. You did all this down on earth, but this is what you're doing up there. And I thank you for what you're doing. I praise you. He has a more excellent ministry. Now I want you to notice 2 other words there in verse 6. By how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant and a better promises. You see that? He has a more excellent ministry, but is built upon a better covenant and a better promise. And he therefore becomes the mediator of a better covenant and better promises. He's not only our surety as the one who saved us, but is a mediator for us before the throne of God. Listen to this one. This is very important. Because he's the high priest, and he's next to the Father, and he's the mediator, he can bring you near to God. As your high priest, he can bring you near to God. That's his function. That's his ministry. What an incredible thing. We sing a song, "Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to the cross which thou hast died." But how can he get near to the Father? Through the Son. Through the mediator. Through the Melchizedek priest on the throne. He's there. Have you had fellowship with the Lord like that? This is what it's all about. Oh, be never satisfied, my friend, until you're drawn close to the Father through the Son by the high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us that he was, by an oath, the priest. The Old Testament was by the word of the law, but he was by an oath to be there. Melchizedek priesthood. Now he's by a better oath, the Melchizedek priesthood in the glory, and better promises. He can give you all the promises you want if you spend time in his presence. You know, I've been thinking about how could I get this thing across to you, dear people. It is not something physical. It's not something you're going to visualize and therefore say, well, this is the way it is. You're going to have to say, by the Holy Spirit, I want to understand this. I want the Spirit of God to explain this to me and help me to get, well, maybe this is what the Lord meant through the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 3. Set your affection on things above, not things on the earth. Put your whole attention up there, not here. So don't think here, think there. And he's trying to tell you that in this section. This is the head. This is what he's pointing to. This is what he's after. I've given you all this stuff that's down here, the first seven chapters. But now I want you to transfer your attention from here to heaven, to the heavenlies, and see that that's what God is performing up there for you. So don't focus on the tabernacle or the temple. The holy place is up there. The Holy of Holies is there. And the high priest is not coming in once a year. He's there all the time. He never leaves. He never goes on a holiday. We have him. That's the kind of one. And he has a ministry. And this ministry is an excellent one. It's built upon better covenant, better oath, better promises. This is the best you can get. Don't turn away from it. Now I've asked you to transfer yourself from all that back down here to our little congregation now. It's up to you now to take this stuff, chapter 8 and the notes, and get on your knees and spend some time and say, Lord, I heard what the pastor said, and I've got what he's told me in the notes, but you show me from your Bible. And I want to experience this. I think I agree with my brother Monty, what he said last week. We are so cognitive and so attuned to, let's see, I understand. I think we have to move from that to an experience of the Holy Spirit working through His Word in our hearts. So can I just conclude with this? What kind of an experience do you have with the Lord? Every day you have it with your wife or your children or your job situation, your colleagues. But what kind of experience do you have with the Lord? I like to eat. I like candy. I like sweets. And last night we took out of the freezer a piece of, what is that stuff? Stolen, yes. We've had it for about 6 months, and we keep taking a little piece off and then put it back in and take another piece out. And I said to my wife, tomorrow's the Lord's Day. Let's have some more stolen. So, and I was thinking about when I went to bed, the first thing I got up this morning. But then I said, now wait a minute. Job said, I have to consider thy word more than my necessary food. So I said, upstairs, boy, get up there. You wait for your stolen. You get up there and open that Bible and get with the Lord first. I tell you, my brother and sister, He is precious. I hope you understand what I'm talking about. It may be strange to you because many people have visualized this chapter 8 as something which is physical. There's got to be all this set up there. Come on. This is in the heavens. It's a spiritual thing. And it's for you to sit down and ask the Spirit of God to make it real to you. You're not going to do it just flippantly, brother. You spend time on your knee with the Lord. God bless you. Thank you so much. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father. Oh, please help us, Lord. We want to know Thee. We want to understand what it means to have a high priest ministry to us and with us and for us. We want to understand what it means that he has better covenant he has than the law that was set down for the Old Testament. He's got better promises than it could be given in the Old Testament. This is all special stuff and very precious. God help us. We don't want to miss what God has for us. We want to enjoy everything that He has for us. And we're going to thank Thee and praise Thee for it. Thank You for my brothers and sisters who are here this morning. Grant to them, Lord, a deep desire under God to say, Lord, I will not rest night nor day until Thou bless me with understanding of these things to the glory and praise of our blessed God. Heavenly Father, feed us not on milk alone, but on the meat of the Word of God, the strong food that we can understand what it means to have a Melchizedek priesthood in the person and work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hear us in this our prayer. We love Thee, Lord, and we want to love Thee more and more. We pray in His precious and worthy name with much, much thanksgiving. Amen.